Hello, everybody. This is Sheila McKenna, founder of Push Factor. And my hope is that your week has started well. I know it started well for me, despite a couple of issues, but they are not up for discussion. I don't want to let them ruin a perfectly good day, perfectly good evening, and what to me is going to be a great week. And I hope it's the same for you. So as I continue my series of Facebook Live 30-day challenges, I want to talk about something today that might be a bit controversial. It's a straightforward topic about self-sabotage and the fact that we are very good at stopping ourselves from doing things. Now, when you go online, when you go on YouTube, you'll find a lot of videos about how to stop self-sabotage. And we even call it the enemy within. But I'd like to go a bit deeper. I'd like to ask, where does self-sabotage really come from? Let's start with what self-sabotage is. I don't like complex definitions. I just want to give it as it is. To me, self-sabotage is the desperate need to run away from anything that requires change or anything that brings you discomfort. So if you know that there's something that you're let me try not to use the word supposed to. If you know that there's something that is good for you, you know it's going to change your life. You know it's going to bring certain benefits. It's very likely that you're still not going to do anything about it. It's very likely that no matter how many steps you take, no matter what elaborate plan you draw out, no matter how wonderful it is, no matter what the fantastic outcome will be, you will still not do anything about it. Why? Because of where you are and what you know. I'm still having a problem with my throat. I apologize. So, self-sabotage is a lot more complex than 1, 2, 3 steps of how to deal with it and how to just stop it from our lives, how to eliminate it. There's a time that I said that there's no such thing as elimination. You can't eliminate anything, really. It stays in our minds. And you can activate it or you can deactivate it. There are certain things that remain dormant. And it's only when certain triggers happen in our lives that they resurface. They don't really go away. Now, to me, self-sabotage is a self-protective mechanism. When you put yourself in uncomfortable situations, the reason why it's so easy to go back to what you know is because it is what you know. It's not familiar territory. And my issue with just brushing away this whole thing about stop self-sabotaging, just stop it, is that we need to start understanding where it comes from and why it controls our life so much. Why are we so happy? Actually, maybe happy is the wrong word to use, but why are we so comfortable in being and remaining in situations that are unhappy? Because you have to look at the situation from a standpoint of the fact that I would rather stay here. It's a terrible place. I hate it, but I know it. There's this other place that could have better possibilities. The outcome could be a lot better. But first of all, I do not know the way to get there. And there is no guarantee that when I get there, that the things that I'm wishing for are actually going to come to fruition. So we are justified in deliberately not taking up opportunities that can change our lives. We're justified because we have no idea what the outcome is going to be, because we have not been trained that way. Our education system, our society does not teach us to take leaps of faith. It doesn't teach us to take control of our own lives. It teaches us to obey and to do as we are told. So when you make the decision to do something that is particularly difficult, it's really, really hard, especially when you look around and you see everybody around you is just as lazy as you are, is just as, you know, leading pretty mediocre lives as you are. So what's the purpose? What's the need of changing? But the problem with thinking that way is that there will come a point in our lives when we shall thoroughly regret not doing anything about the opportunities that were presented in front of us. And that is what I want you, me, all of us to try to avoid. I think that it's very, very crucial to look at everything that we have wanted to do. All the goals that we have set for ourselves, all the plans that we have tried to create that have never come to fruition because of this terrifying fear. And we'd rather be distracted. We'd rather make excuses. We'd rather allow this sabotage in the form of all these things that seem normal. It seems normal to tell yourself, you know, for the next month, I'm not going to drink. But by the weekend, you've already set a plan to go out and you know you're going to drink. You know you're going to put yourself in a situation. You know, you're going to be around your friends. And when you're around your friends and the same people who probably don't respect your goal, maybe you haven't even told them, you're going to end up sabotaging yourself, sabotaging your plans and drinking, right? I just want us to start to understand the consequences of our actions. The consequences of refusing. The consequences of. Let me try and put this in a better way. the consequences of not allowing ourselves to do what we are supposed to do. I think the only reason why we never really follow our goals and never really follow what we know is going to be better for us is because we have options. If you didn't have an option, if you didn't have a choice, if you were dropped from your job right now and you had to figure out a way to make ends meet, then trust me, you would do everything possible to make sure that your rent is paid at the end of that month, to make sure that your children have food on the table and you're able to pay their school fees, to make sure that you're able to keep the lights on and pay the bills. Because the, you know, your back is against the wall and you don't have time to think about options. You have no choice. So for me, personally, I have to put myself in a situation where I feel like I don't have an option. I have to keep doing what I know I will do. And I know that my future self is going to thank me for it. It's so easy. You know, the thing about sabotaging our daily habits is that it's so easy to just think that we have time. It's so easy to think that you can do something about it tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes and you still don't do anything about it, and the next day comes and we lull ourselves into these promises that we make that, yeah, I'll figure it out. But we don't. We really don't. And then all of a sudden, a huge curveball happens, this slap in the face, just this major life change that you were not expecting. Then that's when you wake up. Then that's when you are ready to do something about your situation. But by that time, it's coupled with the stress of it, with the trauma of this sudden change, the pressure can be so high that you end up giving up. But life is giving us a chance every day to make meaning of our own lives, to do something that will lead to real fulfillment, real meaning in our lives. But we still don't want to answer that call. It's still so easy for us to get distracted. It's still so easy for us to run away because there are so many options to run to. It's so much easier to avoid being a good husband or a good wife, a good mother, a good father, a good employee, a good teacher. Whatever it is that you choose to do, it's so easy to avoid it because it seems so much easier. But there's only real reward in the hardest route. The route where we're supposed to be struggling and really finding growth in the things that we say we're going to do, and when we stick with them and we have the discipline to do them. To be honest with you, I think sabotage is sexy because there are so many options. You can lull yourself into entertaining yourself. You can lull yourself into being distracted by all kinds of things. But when you say you're going to do something and you see it to its end, there's nothing sexy about that. Because it's tedious, it requires sacrifice, it requires time. But that's where the gold is. That's where the real gems are. Excuse me. So, my advice to all of us is to get to the root of what is really keeping us from what we want to do. Why we believe. Why we are hypnotized by what we believe we cannot do and what we believe is not possible for us. Because the same energy we give towards what we think we can't do, we can give that same energy towards what we can do, what is possible, what we can achieve. We can do the same thing because we live in a universe where it's possible to do both. There's nobody, there's no law that says, maybe other than Murphy's law. But from what I know, that's not a scientific law. It's very easy to look at things from a negative perspective. Very, very easy. But even if looking at things from a optimistic perspective is not the popular narrative, it is still possible. It takes more work, but it is still there for us to pursue right to its end, to see what the outcome is if we decide to follow through on something. So I know I've not really focused so much on like step one, do this, step two, do this, step three, do this. I just wanted to talk about sabotage from a more complex space and just look at it from a much larger perspective, looking at it from a different angle. I'm going to leave this thought with you, which I said before. Think about the consequences of how your life is going to turn out if you constantly allow yourself to sabotage your plans. If you constantly allow your thoughts, your friends, your family, and anybody who is an influence in your life to keep you from what you want to do, to keep you from what you know you need to do. Sometimes it's not, actually, not sometimes, majority of the time it's not them, it's us. We are our biggest sabotages. We are biggest enemies. So I always wonder why we rely so much on the data of our past to determine what our future is going to look like. We think that because we failed at something 5 years ago, that the same outcome is going to happen 5 years from now. But the question is, haven't you grown? Haven't you learned? Haven't you figured out new ways of doing things, new ways of adapting? Haven't you picked up new skills? Don't you have the faith to use that new information to shape what your future is going to be instead of relying on past data that is old? And that you're only relying on because of your emotions. because of the emotion that is attached to those traumatic experiences. Anyway, I know I've gone pretty far, but consider that. Consider the fact that you are probably sabotaging yourself because of past experiences that you had that really traumatized you, that you vowed you were never going to ever do again because you failed. It was a really bad experience and you're never going to do again. But you're not that person anymore. You're a new person. You're different now. So why don't you use this new version to run towards your dreams, to run towards your plans, to run towards that person that you can be and that life that is waiting for you. Because it really is just waiting for you. It's waiting for you to align yourself with who you know you can be. So that is the end of my rant today. My hope is that this thing is on so that when I end this video, it's not... I don't find that I've been mute the whole time. But anyway, this is Sheila McKenna, founder of Push Factor. Thank you for watching and have yourself a good one. Talk soon. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.